Blog Talk Radio.
Let the healing begin.
Intended to take the place of orthodox medicine, but to work in conjunction with it. Therefore, if you need to seek medical advice, we advise that you do so. By participating in the Blog Talk Gold Ring Healing Fountain radio show, you are implying that you give permission to receive healing from Source, the Universe, all that is, God, or whatever name you call the Supreme Being, by whichever vibration it comes on. For example, Eastern energies facilitate Reiki, etc. Or Western therapies may utilize the Christ angelic energies. This program is non-denominational, so the healing modality will vary depending on the guest speaker. All healing comes from the same source. It may just come on a different vibration, rather like tuning in to a different radio station. We ask that you join us with an open heart and mind, with a clear head, i.e. not under the influence of drink or recreational drugs.
Everyone who lives on this earth has a mission to do.
All our healers are working from a place of love and light, with the highest good of mankind and Mother Earth uppermost in heart, thought, and deed. Please relax and enjoy this co-creation. This is your time. We are in the time of now.
Angels are standing in line. They help me and you. So trust what you feel in your heart.
Welcome to week 150 of the Healing Fountain Show. And at the moment, we're missing Gary Moore. I don't know where he is. I can see that he's online on his phone somewhere, so he must be busy. But never mind, we have a great guest for you. We have AJ Cady of the Animal Welfare Worldwide, and he's going to be with us shortly to tell us all about his work with animals. And it is a worldwide organization, so we have a video showing the work that's done in South Africa, which it doesn't matter what country we show because, it, as I said, it's a worldwide organization, and they're doing some absolutely fantastic work. And so you'll be able to phone in and to ask questions and ask why there's reasons for hope amid the heartbreak of day-to-day animal rescue work, because there's always hope. AJ Cady is a senior program advisor for the International Fund for Animal Welfare, and so he's got the latest news from the front line. So I'm really looking forward to that. Now, it is in line with Brother Sean's Franciscan Abbey. He's got a website, the Franciscan Abbey of St. Francis. It sounds quite Catholic, but in fact it is an interfaith worldwide organisation. And Brother Sean can be found on the Heart to Soul Prayer Partners for Peace channel as well. Anyway, we've got a great song to play for you. It's called Change the World, and that is what AJ is hoping to do, I'm sure. Thank you to AJ for choosing that one. Right, well, Gary has gone AWOL. I don't know if anybody's seen him, but he hasn't appeared yet. But never mind. I think we'll bring AJ straight on because he's going to tell us all about his work, and it's absolutely tremendous work that they're doing all over the world. And AFOR saves animals, they rescue individual animals, protect entire populations, and preserve precious habitat. So are you there, AJ?
Hi there. Thank you so much for having me on tonight. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for coming. Thank you for being here with us.
Sure. Well, I'll tell you a little bit about our organization, but then absolutely would welcome questions from anyone and on pretty much any of the topics. But as you said, I'm with a group called the International Fund for Animal Welfare, or IFAW for short. We're on the web like everybody else on the planet at ifaw.org, ifaw.org. And one of the things that I really love about this organization is, as you said, that we're truly international. We were founded in 1969, so we've been around for quite a long time, but we've got offices in about 14 countries around the world, and we have projects in more than 40 different countries. So we really do span the globe, and our emphasis is on giving hands-on assistance to animals in need, and that can be anything from dogs and cats to wildlife and livestock, helping animals in the wake of disasters. And then we extend with our work all the way out through saving populations from cruelty on many of the campaigns that you've heard about or hear about all the time, like saving seals, stopping the seal hunt, ending commercial whaling, things like that. And IFAW's approach really, I think, makes tremendous sense for the world we're in today, because things are very complicated. But when you get right down to it, the solutions tend to be a mixture of three things. We believe you have to save individual animals, because the suffering of any one animal, any one spirit, matters. But then we know that if you save those animals by themselves and they don't have a safe home, then you haven't really achieved very much. So we'll also fight to preserve their habitat, to make sure they have a safe place to live, whether that's, you know, grasslands in Africa, or safe homes for cats and dogs. And then the last piece of it is about making sure that we get that long-lasting change, you know, that truly changing the world, by fighting for the changes in laws or treaties or just human behavior to really get at the root causes of the suffering. And so, like, one example I would give there is IFAW's worked for a good 40 years now. We were founded to stop the seal hunt up in Canada. And we have many, many supporters all over the world, but really huge supporter base in the UK and in Europe. Because the UK and Europe really helped lead that campaign to stop the killing of harp seals. Cool. And it's the kind of thing that you have to be dedicated to over generations, because we fought that to the point where we had a major win in the 80s. We had about 10, 12 years of peace on ice, and then it started up again. So we had to work again on the issue. But now we're just about back to ending the hunt in Canada. So you've got victories like that that we can all celebrate. Mm-hmm. But we also know that you can't rest on these issues. You can't rest at any time. So we've expanded over the years to help many other species. A lot of our work right now is going on with stopping the slaughter of elephants in Africa.
Yeah.
But we also work with everything from tigers to rhinos, a tremendous amount of work saving cats and dogs from suffering. And I think we'll share some video in a little while of one of our projects down in South Africa. And what we try to do with cats and dogs in particular, but really with all of our projects, is focus on those places where other people aren't working and where the need is really the greatest. So, for example, with our cat and dog work, we're in the townships of South Africa and giving the help to those people who really have nothing else. All they about the only real joy and small luxury they can have in their life is to have a dog or maybe a cat. And they really, really want to care for those animals, but they just need advice and a little bit of help. And so we'll try to step in with those to provide that type of care for people.
And I was reading somewhere that was it in China, people are selling the ivory tusks of the elephant for medicine, so-called, right under signs saying that they weren't allowed to use illegal ivory. it's a bit of a farce, isn't it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've always, you know, like everything in life, you see such terrible things happening, but also wonderful things happening at the same time. China is expanding so rapidly, and there's such a huge demand for ivory. Ivory is more used for decorative purposes. The medical claims are oftentimes more around rhino and some other animals. But in all of these cases, what you see is this huge demand for wildlife products and this rapidly escalating trade, which is destroying the elephant populations and other animals at an incredible rate. And so on that hand, it's easy to say, oh, it's hopeless, you know, with all of this happening, how are you ever going to change it? And yet at the same time, if you look at some of the surveys that we do in places like China and just what I know from having visited there over the decades, that China and Asia are also changing incredibly rapidly. And you see exciting things happening, like even 5-6 years ago, local people wouldn't speak out against things like the ivory trade, or if there was if the government was culling dogs and cats. And now our office over there is seeing local people starting to take the lead on their own and speak out against some of these horrible things that are happening. And so it's a mixture of, we really need help to work as hard as we can and as fast as we can. But I'd also want to tell people to try not to despair about it, because we really are making some amazing progress too.
Yeah. Well, that's brilliant. I mean, I've never really been able to understand the little harp seals being bludgeoned to death for their skins. Mm-hmm. And I mean, even in the 60s, there was an outcry about it, but as you said, it just kept going on, and it did stop for a little while maybe, but it's just unbelievable. Well, I mean, we are a nation of animal lovers in the United Kingdom. Just about everybody here has a dog or a cat or some animal, you know.
Yep.
And but with there is room for hope, because there's much more media attention about it now, isn't there? And Facebook, Twitter. Mm-hmm. And so many people are joining causes. On Facebook every week, I join about 3 or 4 causes to do with animals.
Yeah, absolutely. And, Europe really is and especially the UK has a wonderful tradition of care and concern for animals. Oftentimes what's driving these things, you know, like the where you – wondered about the seal hunt, what's driving it is just plain commercial greed, and because people think that they can make a profit off of it. Again, in exposing those things and getting people talking about them, the changes can come more rapidly as we work through it. I noticed a chat question here also.
I was just going to mention about that.
Yeah, asking about some of the mass die-offs. It's really, really hard to say. There's so many things going on. The very definitely pollution is a huge part of it. And the as much as anything else, it's just the, if you think about the amount of stress that we're putting on all parts of the planet, it's not un, you know, it's almost not, it's almost inevitable that you're going to see things where you have mass die-offs, because some of that is a natural occurrence. But then you'll see on top of that, if the populations are very stressed to begin with, they're just much more vulnerable to these things. For example, right now on Cape Cod, where I am, we've been experiencing absolutely unprecedented mass strandings of dolphins. We got as many dolphins stranded in January as we normally would see in an entire year. And no one quite knows the reasons behind it yet. That it, we know that these types of things have happened historically in the past, but you can't quite put your finger on what the larger causes are. The one thing you do know is that if the animals are struggling to find food, if they're dealing with heavier loads of pollutions and mercury and all of those types of things, they're just that much more vulnerable.
Yeah, and also there's the rainforests that are being destroyed. They're being chopped down and palm olive trees planted. And so natural habitats of many animals are just disappearing. And that's all just to do with money as well, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's money. You know, to a certain extent, it's also it's ignorance, people not understanding how much of an impact they can have. That, you know, and it's that cumulative effect of, you know, each person, oh, well, I'll just do this little bit. I'll just clear this little area for my, you know, bit of food or something like that. But it builds up. But on the flip side of that, you know, so often I'll hear people saying, oh, well, you know, I'm just one person. I can't do all that much. And what I can tell you is that it's millions of individual people, you know, very much like you and me, who've built IFAW into what it is. And each person contributing what they can, you know, $25, $50, a few hundred dollars or a few thousand, combined with, you know, taking the actions, like you said, through the Facebook causes or letter writing campaigns. That's how we've gotten these huge wins over the years. And achieved so many of the victories. So it we really can be quite powerful when we get together.
Well, Mother Teresa said, if you can't feed all the world, just feed one child.
Absolutely.
And if everybody has that attitude and fed one child, nobody would starve, would they?
Yeah.
And it's the same with the animals. You know?
And our access to that information now is just so much better than it was, you know, even 10 years ago. You know, now people can just, if they go onto our website, you know, if they go onto IFAW.org, not only are there different versions for each country, so you can see what issues are happening in your own area, but you can also see how those tie into what's happening worldwide. And you can share that through your Facebook and, you know, Twitter and all of those things. So you can become a much more powerful voice for animals and for your own particular view of what needs to be happening.
Yeah.
And trying to think if there's any other. The website has great information on each of those topics, and beyond that, it's really, I would just be encouraging people to get educated on the issues, and don't underestimate the power of your own voice to influence others. You know, that's one of the things that we've seen overseas, is when you do a survey in any part of the world, you'll see that attitudes about cruelty are very, very similar. You know, people think, oh, well, in Japan, you know, they're killing whales because they just don't think about animals the way that we do. And we see that they really do care. It's that people in some of these other countries think that they're they don't see that attitude as being as common. And so some of it is just getting more of the public to speak out and create that environment where it's safe to stand up and say, I care about animals and I want these things to change. I want them to be treated right. And we know that those things, that doing the right thing for animals inevitably means that we're doing the right things for people too.
Yes, and for the planet as a whole.
Absolutely. And IFAW is very, very committed to that, that we view everything as interconnected. You need to save individual animals. You need to save their environment, but you also have to be sensitive to the needs and the views of local people. So wherever we're working, whether it's in Africa or China or here at home, really looking for those lasting solutions that are going to make sense and be supported by everyone.
Yeah, because sadly, so many people are dependent on the job and the money coming in.
Yep.
I mean, usually it's sort of third world countries anyway, where people are struggling for money.
Yep.
So,
and it is that. But if you're creative about it, and if you're committed to figuring out what is really driving it, you can find solutions. We've found, you know, in Africa, a lot of the work we're doing right now is in teaching local people that they can avoid conflicts with elephants or avoid problems just by which plants they place in different locations. You know, simple things like having a little beekeeping operation or red peppers on the outer part of your fields where that border with the wilder areas, we know that the elephants will then avoid those areas. Well, that way, the local people, they have the crops that they need, they have income through something like beekeeping, and they see the benefits of ecotourism over time rather than the one time get rich quick of killing an elephant just for its ivory.
Yeah. Or as in China, sometimes skinning a snake alive for food or medicine.
Absolutely. I've seen that with my own eyes.
Oh, I couldn't watch that on TV. Never mind in person.
Yeah, it is an absolute nightmare.
Yeah.
But we keep making slow but steady progress. The amount of that is happening now is reduced from where it was before.
Yeah.
And we just have to keep on plugging with it.
Raise public awareness.
Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
And in those countries where they really don't realize that there's anything wrong with it, part of the culture, and they've been brought up doing it, haven't they? So.
Absolutely. And the other thing too is not taking our eye off of what our own politicians are doing. If people go to the website, they can see a lot of the activist tools for this, but really making sure to get the word out, whether it's in Europe or in the US or other parts of the world, but especially in Europe, of making sure that we talk to our members of parliament, both the European Parliament and, you know, the individual national governments, and push hard on them to say, we don't want to see something like the ivory trade that's going on.
Yes.
Because the politicians will like to hide behind one another on these issues, and they'll, you know, express a lot of concern about it, but not actually take the votes that need to happen to make a permanent change.
Yeah, I mean, pressure groups are the way to go.
Yeah, absolutely.
So shall we watch the video here?
Wonderful, yeah.
But if everybody wants to just pull up the player and pause the player and mute the sound just for a moment until I get over to the switchboard and press play on that. I'll count you down in a minute. So we need to put a few hearts in the chat room. When you've pulled up your player and muted the sound or paused it, just put a heart up. There's mine.
Okay.
It's a really good video.
Yep. And I'll just tell folks, this is a video about one of our projects that we call community-led animal welfare down in Johannesburg, and it give you a little bit of a flavor of the type of work that can be done and the impact that you can have with just some very simple approaches.
Yeah. Great. Okay, then. So we just need a few hearts in the chat room, and then I'll get over to the switchboard and count you down. Okay, then. So 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Press play.
The poorest of the poor don't have any kind of animal welfare. They find it very difficult to access that service, and it's a very necessary service. CLAW is an organization that was founded to help the animals of the most impoverished people around Johannesburg.
I think what's special about CLAW is that we just try our best, go into areas where no one else goes, and really help a lot of animals that would never see any veterinary medicine.
You wake up at 9 o'clock, you have your breakfast, and you're like, I have no idea what this day of work is going to bring.
You see human-animal neglect, love, everything all in a day.
And when you say, I've seen it all, something else comes in, and you're like, wow, I have really not seen that before.
It's like MASH, the TV series.
We don't always have electricity or water.
We've learned a bit of Afrikaans and a little bit of Zulu.
It's easier to do it than to talk about it.
Every day is completely different.
You just have to think fast. Emergencies come in, make a plan. There's always something happening, and you get challenged in more ways than one.
Our mobile clinics, we essentially put our medicines in a vehicle, our medicines and our veterinary staff. When we get to an area, we will park, preferably near a water source.
In a regular vet clinic, you're confined to the patients you have that come to you, whereas with CLAW, we have to go out.
By the time we arrive in the township, there will be a lot of people that are waiting for us. We deworm, we vaccinate, we treat for the sicknesses like mange, tick fever.
And anything that needs hospitalization will come back to the clinic.
So for us, it's really difficult trying to educate the people and telling them how to feed the animal, because they hardly have money to feed themselves.
It is not sterilized. I give permission for it to be done.
Please, don't just sterilize it for now.
Imagine if this one is giving 7, the other one 7. How are we going to afford to help you people?
It's a bit elitist and odd to drive into a place and say, look, sorry, you're hungry, and let me step over your hungry body and just check that your dog's bowl has got enough food in it.
The first time I went out to do a mobile clinic, definitely first thing was the poverty.
Everyone at home was telling us don't go to the township, and especially don't go at night. But actually, I haven't felt scared since I've been here.
Yeah, but you also have to be careful, because some people can't deal with it. Going out into the township, seeing the things that you see every day.
And we're at the municipal refuse site. So we came to give some bread before it went stale, because there were a lot of hungry children here, a lot of hungry people.
They are starving, that's why they prefer to be there to feed themselves.
One of the youngsters told us that they were concerned about their dog that had been injured and wasn't doing too well. We put him in the car. He was in really bad shape and came back to the clinic, but he didn't make it.
Is it possible for you to adopt them?
To adopt your grandchildren.
grandmother here who has, both her daughters have died, and she has the grandchildren, and both the children are HIV positive. So she has asked if we could adopt them.
It's a scary thought. Like we are often the first ones that are called for a child rape case, even a crime. We even have people arriving here hoping to have their babies. We didn't ever set out to do food parcels or to teach vegetable gardening or to counsel sick people. But it's hard not to do that when there is nothing. People are frightened. You know, there's always been this perception that you'll be murdered or robbed when you go into the townships. And that's why people don't go.
They're not enjoying life, those people, because why? They suffer too much. And most of them are sick.
What happened in the days pre-election, when we had the height of the political violence here, is that we never knew from one day to the next what kind of situation we'd find ourselves in.
If they come to attack you in your house, your animals must be killed also, you see. The owner is dead here, the dog is here, you see.
We had different political parties that sorted out their differences with guns and machetes. I've been hijacked. I've been shot at.
I was nearly shot, but they asked me, where do I come from, which nation am I? I said, no, I'm just a volunteer.
And another time, hiding under the dog trailer, where de Villiers kicked me to keep me under the dog trailer because he was being held up.
They put me a gun here, take my wallet.
Yes, I've been afraid, but most times not.
They get used to you that you don't interfere on their fight, so they get used to us, you see. They know our names, that is Cora, that is Divya. They call us people of dogs.
We've been through so much violence, and we still have so much violence. I think working with animals and working with the people who own those animals, it's just some way of making our society a bit more compassionate.
If ever we were not doing it, who was going to do it? No one.
It's been poisoned, yes.
This particular poison is commonly known here as two-step. And the reason being that the animal will take one or two steps and die.
The poisonings are a big, big problem, and it's easily accessible on the streets.
That's so.
I'm driving slowly, I just want to know where you want to go.
See those tents?
It's an agricultural poison. From the farmer, it finds its way onto the streets. People buy it because they have such a great need for rat control.
You see, it's openly displayed here.
So we go and buy it regularly and then go to the police and tell them where we've bought it. They may do a raid. It's really taking a toll on us. It takes an incredible toll on the animals, on the staff, and on our finances.
Cora, whatever breeds gets her attention. Whether it's got four legs and a tail and fluffy ears or humans. She's on call 24/7 and she's there for everything that needs her attention.
She is out there every day. Whatever you do, she's doing with you.
She loves this country. She loves the people. She loves the culture here. How she continues to do the things that she does on such a consistent basis amazes me every day. And she just basically strives to make it a better place for animals and people to live.
I love being able to help. Mm-hmm. The hardest part is probably when you stop and think about how much there is to do.
Right now it's time to light our candles. We light our candles because fire is a very powerful tool, which along with prayer and focused intent, helps us to manifest our goals, which are as always, to send love, light and healing out to the world and to all mankind and to the animal kingdom. It also connects us to our Creator, who is the light of the world. As always, we are the light of the world as well. And the light that we are lighting now represents the light that we take out to help other people to light their lights if they wish. And right now we're going to the calling the four directions. Dearest Way Showers, I would like to ask you to take a deep breath and focus on your connection with our Mother Earth. Become aware of the fact that you're in touch with her, your feet lightly touching her, and become aware of the fact that many feet are touching her right now in all countries all over the world. Close your eyes and visualize this with me. We are all standing on her, holding each other's hands. We surround her like a giant wheel with spokes of light coming from our hearts together into the center space that lies deep within our grandmother Earth. As we see her crystal heart, and as we take this deep breath again, we feel the beating of our heart through our bodies, and we all start to slightly move on the melody of her heartbeat as one heart. We feel this energy reaching our heart centers, and our hearts feel so warm, they're overflowing with love, and the energy you can imagine as the purest light flows to the center of the earth. And we become aware of our connection again. And we know we are all related. Mitakoye Oyasin. When the energy reaches our eyes, we feel our heads lifting a tiny bit up, and we see our Father Sky. And when we see beyond Father Sky, we see a giant book floating in space. On the cover of the book is written, Book of Healing Requests, and the book opens. We can write down all names we would like in that book, but the first name you may write down in grace is your own name. Please go ahead and write it in there. Right now, you are a receiver of healing energy, and you may direct this energy to any human being, animal, or plant you want, by writing down the names in the book. You may write them down underneath the healing fountain list that is already in there. I'll give you a little bit of time to write the names down. Please go ahead now. And when all names are written in the book, we see that the book closes and drops slightly down into the center of Mother Earth. Thank you, Mother Earth, for all the love that you give. Feel the gratitude and sit down very comfortable and be surrounded by this energy, and listen to a beautiful meditation from our special guest. Thank you very much. Today, I am the special guest, and I'd like to do a meditation that I channeled on Saturday evening. And hopefully it's going to help us to get through the next 4 months. I call it the Beaches Brook Meditation because over here in the United Kingdom, we have the Aintree Racecourse, which has the biggest, highest hurdle that the horses have to jump over in the world. At the other side of the big beech hedge, there is a brook. And I thought it's quite appropriate to do this today because we are speaking about animals. So if you'd like to just relax, slow down your breathing. This meditation has been channeled, hopefully to help all of us through the next 4 months of trials and tribulations and upheavals. As we struggle to go through the next 4 months, let us leap over Beaches Brook together. We'd like to land after the 3 days of darkness that it is said we will experience. That will make it about the 25th of December. So I'm aiming for Christmas Day 2012. Like the racehorses, we have already been in training for this leap. We can do it. Since our awakening, we have been connecting with Source, meditating, and trying to raise our vibration. Those of us who have not trained as much as others will be pulled along by the momentum of the rest. We are powerful beyond measure. We're being assisted by beings of light, angels and archangels. And as we've already started the leap over the hurdle, we are suspended in motion over it. While we are up here, now I'm going to use the first person to bring in the power of the I Am. I am not afraid. I am confident that I am going to have a safe landing. I am not affected by negativity around me. I am a positive force. There may be walls crumbling all around, bombs dropping and bullets flying. I am not fazed by anything that is happening. Buoyed up by our helpers, we can get through this, whatever happens. We are all together in this with our Mother Earth, who is also going through all the upheaval. Because we are flying above all the chaos, it cannot touch us. We are flying on wings of light. As we get to the 21st of December, we may experience 3 days of darkness. I am not afraid. Everything that is happening has been preordained by our Creator. I am a co-creator. may wish to pass through the violet flame can do this as often as we wish. The violet flame can be 9 feet in all directions. It was removed from mankind in the past because of abuse, but it will cleanse us of our past life karma, this life karma, and cleanse our auras to remove anything that can make us ill. It also removes all the rough ashla, leaving pure gold. So it's important that we use this as often as possible. Up ahead, we can see our new world. Being co-creators, we can create anything that we wish. Grass is green. The flowers are beautiful. There will be 1,000 years of peace. Has been predicted. Yes. Right. It's going to be wonderful, this new world. And I'm going to say a prayer this morning. Beloved, mighty of creation, me, shower me and saturate my being, world and Mother Earth, and the atmosphere around my body up to 9. Mind, body, with your mighty Elohim creator flames and rays, the 7 rays of creation, your sacred fire love, purity and power, your ascended master's heart flame, your ascended master's feelings, the great I am present within this physical garment. Presence and beloved 7 Ellie raise, awaken, resurrect and lift. Awaken, resurrect. Physical garment into the highest vibration of light I can sustain it. Transform it into a temple. Heal, restore, and raise all life as I pass by. Prepare the physical garment to receive the Christ consciousness. Lifting and raising activity to the powers of nature and the forces of the elements today and forever. you. So be it. Remain flying high above all the chaos down below. Be involved in any drama that's going on around us. Let us not be susceptible to it. Let us remain a positive force. Let us visualize and create a happy landing. So be it, so be it, so be it.
Around the world, when animals are suffering, we'll be there. That's our promise to abused or abandoned dogs, orphaned or starving kittens, injured and terrified wildlife, struggling to survive disasters, cruelty, and carelessness. IFAW, the International Fund for Animal Welfare, is a world leader in animal rescue and emergency care. Our mission? To save animals and stop their suffering. But we can't do it without you. Please join our Champions for Animals team. Your kind gift of only $18 a month, that's less than 60 cents a day, will help provide the life-saving food, shelter, and medical care our animal friends so desperately need. Call the number on your screen or search IFAW Rescue right now and let your voice be heard. The sad truth is that every day, all over the world, animals cry out for our help. Pursued by poachers, mercilessly hunted, abandoned, and abused. They need to be saved, protected, and loved. Like Blackie, who gave birth to 7 puppies in her destroyed home after a devastating earthquake. They need you now. Call 1-877-928-3307 right now or search IFAW Rescue now. As a proud member of our Champions for Animals team, you'll help end animal cruelty and save innocent lives. And you'll receive regular issues of the magnificent World of Animals magazine absolutely free. Please, don't let their suffering continue. Search IFAW Rescue or call 1-877-928-3307 right now. That's 1-877-928-3307. And please, do it now.
Yes, do it now. In fact, we're going to bring AJ back on if he's still there. Hey there, AJ.
Hi there. Yep, I'm still on.
Still awake.
Oh, absolutely. That was really nice.
Thank you for
having me on for this. It's been outstanding. And thanks for playing the second piece to Stop the Suffering. Obviously, I'm sure as people can tell, it was something that's created for a U.S. audience. But I wouldn't be doing my job and telling the truth if I didn't tell everyone that we really can use your help and your support in spreading the word about what we're trying to do. And if you're interested and you like what you've heard, by all means, if you just go to the website, which is ifaw.org, and if you're in other countries, if you just type in that same address, it'll take you to the right version for your country and even in the right languages. You can sign up for email alerts from us, things like that. And if you can make a donation, that would be wonderful, but it's not required. At a minimum, please, if you can. And if you're interested, just get involved with us and sign up for the newsletters. And, you know, you can learn more and you can always unsubscribe at any time if you change your mind.
And share it on Facebook and Twitter. And,
absolutely.
Yeah. And could you tell us that telephone number again? Or will we just find it on the website?
It's probably safer to find it on the website because I don't know if that – I'm not sure which parts of the world that number works on. But so if people go into the website, the system is smart enough that it will identify what country you're coming from,
right,
and give you the right phone numbers as well as online options or Giro forms, you know, pretty much whatever you need in any location.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for coming on here and telling us all about your fabulous work, and don't give up. And I think that's a cue for a song, and we're going to say goodbye and God bless to you, aren't we, AJ, because you've got to dash off any minute. But you chose this song. It's called Don't Give Up, Eagle Eye Cherry. Okay, so thank you so much for being a guest. Hope to see you back again soon.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
As well. So don't forget, log on to www.ifo.org. Next week we have Elshara, a very gifted musician, and in fact he's one of the members on the Gifted Ones website. And we'd like to say thank you so much to all the listeners out there, and thank you to everyone in the chat room, and see you next week. Bye and God bless. We're going to play out with Aretha Franklin, Think, because we need to think what we're doing to this planet. Bye, y'all. God bless. Think about this for this one.